ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्त देहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। सो द 18th चैप्टर उपसंहार अध्याय चैप्टर विच प्रेजेंट्स द समरी ऑफ द होल भगवद्गीता इज जस्ट रिप्रोड्यूसिंग द टीचिंग विच इज ऑलरेडी बीन गिवन डिस्कस्ड इन 17 चैप्टर्स and we have seen up to the 58th verse, I think, where Bhagwan discusses the importance of the Shastram also. We saw in the 58th verse, in fact, Bhagwan discusses the topic of Karma Yoga slightly differently. Same, the way of life known as Karma Yoga has been discussed in 56, 57, etc. And 58th verse, Bhagwan gives the warning. What he says, Sarva Durgani Machittaha Mat Prasadat Tarishyasi. Bhagavan says, Mat Prasadat Sarvadurgani Tarishyasi. You will overcome all hardships, all hurdles, all difficulties, all problems. How? Only by my grace. Only with my grace. Mat Parig Mat Anugrahat. Mat prasadat. Mat prasadat means mat anugrahat. With my grace, by my grace, tarishyasi, you will cross all hardships, all hurdles, all difficulties. Sarva durgani tarishyasi. Mat prasadat. But for you, to have my grace, what you need is, your mind must be totally committed to me. Machittaha. As the one whose mind is totally committed to Bhagavan, as the person who is totally committed to Bhagavan is the one whose mind entertains only Bhagavan. Mind has Bhagavan alone as the ultimate goal. And thereby one who lives one's life in conformity with the Shastra teaching. Such a person is Machittaha. Bhagavan says, Machittaha, as the one whose mind has been placed in me, you having tat my grace, mat prasadat, with my grace, sarvadurgani tarishyasi, you will cross all hardships, all difficulties. Atha chet, ahankarat, na sroshyati chet, atha, then, Ahankarat na sroshyasi chet. If you will not listen to the Shastra teaching, you will not listen to the Shastra teaching because of your, you know, bloated ahankara, that you know that you do not need Shastra. Ahankarat, because of your bloated ahankara, thinking that you already know. If you will not listen to the Shastra teaching, and if you don't follow the Shastra teaching, I tell you, nothing in the world can protect you. Vinangshyasi, you will perish. This is what Bhagavan, this is how Bhagavan warned. We saw that also last class. Have you seen? Okay, next verse.
Yadahankaramashritya. Nayotsya iti manyase
Yadahankaramashritya nayotsya iti manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshyati yadahankaramashritya nayotsya iti manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshyati yadahankaramashritya nayotsya iti manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshyati. So now Bhagavan says, yadi ahankaram ashritya. Ahankaram ashritya means what? Being given to ahankara. Being given to ahankara means sticking to ahankara. Sticking to ahankara means what? Mistaking the, see, already because of ignorance, having very strong identity with anatma, body, mind, sense complex. Okay? Having strong identity with anatma, body, mind, sense complex. Taking the body, mind, sense complex as I, entertaining a wrong notion about oneself. Having identity with one's intellect, having identity with one's physical capacity, having identity with one's intellectual capacity, having identity with the one's, okay, this is what, with the wrong, because of ignorance, the strong I sense in the body mind sense complex, the strong identity with anatma, having a strong identity with anatma is what? Sticking to ahankara, sticking to ego, being given to ahankara. Then what happens? Then it means when you think you have identity with your own ahankara, you think you know. So you don't need other pramanam. You don't accept the shastra as the pramanam because you think you know. You know how to live your life. You do not need shastra. Then what happens? Yadi manyase. Bhagavan says, yadi manyase. If you think, Arjuna, if you think you know already, and because of your ignorance, because of your attachment, because of your bloated ego, that you because of a strong identity with anatma, body, mind, and complex, and mistake their body, mind, and complex for yourself, with the wrong notion that you know already, yadi manyase, if you think, na yotse, I shall not fight. Arjuna, if you think because of your bloated ego, if you think, na yotse, I shall not fight, iti yeshaha vyavasayaha. Yeshaha vyavasayaha means this decision of yours, this resolve of yours, I shall not fight. This resolve, this decision of this, your decision. Yeshaha vyavasayaha, Arjuna, this your decision that you would not fight. How? Na yotsye, I shall not fight. This is your decision, yeshaha vivasayaha, then what happens? Mithya, then what happens? It will be in vain. Mithya means here, please understand, the word mithya here does not mean some other mithya. It means it will be waste of time, it will be in vain. the resolve will be, your decision will be waste. Mithya means your decision will be waste. What decision? I shall not fight. If you make a decision, the decision will be a waste, vain. Why? Because, why do you make such a decision? The decision is made only because of your ahankara, strong bloated ego. Sticking to ahankara, being given to ahankara, having strong identity with anatma, body, mansions, complex, not knowing, not following the shastra teaching. Yadi manyase, I know. If you think that you know that, therefore what? I shall not fight. Iti yeshaka vivasayaha. This decision of yours, that yours, within quotes, I shall not fight, then this decision will be mithya. This decision will be in vain. Please make note here, the word mithya means vain. It's a waste. The vain decision. Know why? You cannot keep quiet. Why? Prakritihi tvam niyokshyati. Prakritihi. Prakriti means what? Your own nature, your subhava. Your nature. Tvam niyokshyati. Your own subhava, your own nature will appoint you to act. Your nature will compel you, impel you, drive you, chase you to act. I shall not fight. You can decide. It's going to be waste. The decision is going to be in vain. Why? Because your nature is not that. Your nature is different. You are kshatriya. Therefore, your own subhava, you are predominantly high rajasic person. Your kshatriya, your subhava, your nature will place you in action. Your nature will compel you to act. Your nature will chase you to act. Tvam, your nature will place you in action. Tvam prakritihi tvam niyokshyati. This is the literal meaning. Okay. See, this again important verse. What Bhagavan makes clear in this verse is, you must do your duty. What is your duty? You are a born kshatriya. Your kshatriya means what? You are predominantly of the nature of rajas. You are predominantly a rajasic person. Why? You are kshatriya. Your nature, your subhava is that you are predominantly rajasic in nature. And people who are predominantly rajasic in nature will be placed in action. Your own subhava will compel you, impel you, chase you to act. Why? Because you are rajoguna. You are predominantly a person of rajoguna. Therefore, what? You have no choice. You have to live your life performing your duties in conformity with your nature. At least when you are hale and healthy and young and energetic. Because you're a kshatriya. And if you decide, now you, because of your ignorance, because of your wrong identity, because of your erroneous perception, because of the wrong notions, because of your attachment, and because of your grief you have, and with the deluded mind, and you make because of a delusion, you are deluded, you are not clear-minded. When you are confused and deluded because of the grief is because of attachment, attachment is because of your wrong notions you have about the self, and because of your ahankara, because of wrong identity, because of your ignorance. Whatever decision you make, that's a wrong decision. And you decide. You think you know, you don't want to follow Shastra's instructions and you think, I shall not fight. I shall not fight. I won't fight Arjuna, Krishna. I won't fight. If you decide, if you make such a decision and you make such a resolve, what do? You are going against your nature. The decision you make that you would not fight would be against your own nature of predominant Rajoguna. So if you make a wrong decision because of a delusion, and if you go against your own predominant nature of Rajoguna, thinking that you are mature individual, you are interested in sannyasa, then what happens? You will be a failure. You may decide not to act. You may decide to become a sannyasi. You may decide, okay, that you would not do your duty, you would not fight. But what happens? You will be a failure. Your swabhava will not let you, will not leave you, remain quiet. Your swabhava will make you act. So the person who is predominantly tamasic will be inactive because of his laziness. The person who is predominantly sattvic also now will not be of the tendency to act. Whereas a person of Rajoguna naturally will be inclined, has the tendency to act. So Arjuna's swabhava being different, his choice of action is different. He just want to act. It's wrong decision. When he makes a decision against his own nature, then naturally his decision will be a failure. He cannot achieve anything. His guna will not let him. It will force him to act. This is the problem, okay? That is why always we need to know what we are predominantly. Predominantly, what is our nature? Accordingly, and we see sometimes because of confusions, we do not make the right choice, right decision. Then struggle later on. Being a failure in your endeavors. So Bhagavan says, Ahankarat, okay, Ahankaram yadi ashitya. So being given to the Ahankara, Nayotse iti yadi manyase, if you think that I shall not fight, you would not fight. Why? Purely because of your delusion, confusion, purely because of your adamant nature, then what happened? You will not listen to the Shastra teaching, that is my teaching, and your effort, te vyavasayaha, yesha vyavasayaha mithya. This decision of yours will be in vain. You will be a failure. Withdrawing yourself from activity is not possible according to your nature. If you don't want to do what should be done by you, what happened? Because of tendency, because of your natural tendency to act, you may not do your duty, but you will end up doing what should not be done by you. You will be doing something. Better you do your duty in keeping with your natural tendency. Otherwise, your nature will place you in action, force you to act, then you will end up doing something else, some other activity, because of your nature, and which should not be done by you. Some other activity. You will be involved yourself in some other activity. Pujya Swamiji used to say, so people, sometimes they want to go to ashrams. They decide to go to the ashrams. They think they want to become sannyasis. But there's so much, the tendency is to act. They're not able to sit quietly after going to the ashrams. They have made a wrong choice of coming to the ashrams against their own nature. They're still very rajasic predominantly, but they come to the ashrams and to live sannyasi's life. After coming to the sannyasi ashrams also, they wear saffron robes. But what do? They don't sit and listen to Vedanta Shastram. They don't sit and do japam. They're very active. They become the office bearers in the, they do some office work in the ashram. They become unpaid of clerks, clerical job. They do unpaid clerical job or some job in the office. What is, why? Because they, it's the wrong choice. So they now, instead of doing their duty, they escaped and came to ashram. Now ended up doing the same clerical job or same some other managing kitchen department, something department, some other work they're doing in the ashrams. It happens. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Prakritihi Tvam Niyokshyati. It's a very good lesson. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a very, very good lesson. That's why never ever make a wrong choice. You must know what your predominant, what your natural tendency is. Are you predominantly rajasic or tamasic or sattvic? Accordingly, if you're predominantly tamasic, you must do something to drive away the tamas. You must try to become rajasic. If you're predominantly rajasic, then in keeping your sabhava, you must know your duties and you must do what should be done by you appropriately. But if you decide not to do what should be done by you, your duty, because of your own wrong thinking, not following the teaching, then what happens? Your sabhava will put you in some other action that you will still be active. You can't deliver sannyasa. If you don't do what should be done by you, then you will end up doing something else what should not be done by you. So prakritihi te prakritihi niyokshyati, Bhagavan warns. So Arjuna, better do your duty as a kshatriya. It's a very good lesson. Do you all think, understand that? Do you see that? Very nice. Okay, next one. So what Bhagavan says is, prakritihi tvam niyokshyati. Your predominant rajoguna, your predominant rajasic nature will see that you do something or the other. You cannot remain calm. You cannot choose to live as a sannyasa. If you do not do what is to be done by you, your duty, what are you going to do? You have to do something or the other, because that is what your natural tendency, your natural subhava is, to do something, not to sit quietly. If you do not want to do your duty, you will end up doing what should not be done by you or need not be done by you. So prakritihi, your subhava, your rajasic tendency will see that you do something or the other. Arjuna, therefore, better understand your swabhava. Accordingly, you choose to do your duty. Next verse. Swabhava jena kaunteya nibaddhasvena karmana. Swabhavajena kaunteya nibaddhasvena karmana. Kartun nechasi yan mohat karishyasya vashopitat. Swabhavajena kaunteya nibaddhasvena karmana. கர்த்துன்னேச்சசியன்மோகாத் கரிஷ்யஸ்ய வசோபி தத் ஸ்வபாவஜேன கௌந்தேய நிபத்தஸ்வேன கர்மணா கர்த்துன்னேச்சசியன்மோகாத் கரிஷ்யஸ்ய வசோபி தத் ஸ்வபாவஜேன கௌந்தேய நிபத்தஸ்வேன கர்மணா கர்த்துன்னேச்சசியன்மோகாத் கரிஷ்யஸ்ய வசோபி தத் கர்த்துன்னேச்சசியன்மோகாத் கரிஷ்யஸ்ய வசோபி தத். நோ பகவான் says, hey Kaunteya, O son of Kunti Arjuna, Svena Karmana, Swabhavajena Svena Karmana Nibaddha. Arjuna, you have no choice. Nibaddha, why? Because you have been bound. By what? Svena Karmana. You have been bound by your own duty. The duty which is born of your own nature. Swabhavajena svena karmana tvam nibaddha asi. How avashaha, helplessly, choicelessly. So, Swabhavaje nibaddhasi. Arjuna, you have been or you are bound by your own duty born of your own nature. Here you can't change your nature. Your nature. Therefore, karishyasi. Therefore, you will definitely do. Api karishyasi. You will helplessly do something or the other. Karishyasi, you will do the karma. No, 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 no. Krishna, I want to become a sannyasi. I do not want to fight. I do not want to do any karma. I do not want kingdom. I do not want this. I do not want this. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do. I want to remain quiet. I want to remain quiet. I want to, no, I want to meditation. I want to remain quiet, calm. Bhagavan says, Arjuna, Swabhavajena Svena Karmana Avashaha Nibaddha. You're bound by your own duty born of your nature. Therefore, what? Karishyasi, api karishyasi, and you will do something or the other. How? Avashaha, helplessly. Avashaha, helplessly, karishyasi api. And definitely you will do something or the other helplessly. What does it mean? You cannot remain quiet, calm, as you think. No. Avashaha, helplessly, karishyasi api. You will be doing something or the other, Arjuna. You will not remain quiet because that is not your nature. That's not your swabhava. That's not your natural tendency. You're already bound by your own duty, born of your nature. As a result of which, avashaha karishyasi api, you will helplessly do something or the other. Therefore, what? Yadi. Yad tad na ichyati, na ichyasi. Na ichyasi kartum. Yadi tad kartum na ichyasi. Yadi yad tad kartum na ichyasi. If you do not want to do. Yad tat kartam na ichchasi, that which you do not want to do. Tad yad kartam na ichchasi, that particular action, a duty which you do not want to do. Why? Mohat, purely because of your delusion. See, you do not want to do that. Tat kartum na ichchasi, that which you do not want to do, you will do helplessly. But now you do not want to do, why? Because of your delusion. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Avashaha mohat yad kartum naichyasi tat avashaha karishyasi api. So you will definitely end up doing that which you do not want to do. And you do not want to do now because of your delusion. So what again Bhagavan tells Arjuna, that now you are bound. Nibaddha svena karmana svabhavajena svena karmana nibaddha. You're bound by your own duty, which is born of your nature. Your duty is in keeping with your natural tendency, and that you are bound already by that. So that is the law and order. Arjuna, please do understand this law and order. Why? Because every human being has one's own predominant nature. Every human being has one's own predominant nature, predominant guna. Everyone has one's own swabhava. All three gunas are there in all the living beings. All three gunas are there in all the non-living things also. All three gunas are in human beings also. But in human beings, the gunas are in different, even though all three gunas are there, the proportion is of gunas, the proportion, this difference in proportion of gunas. Some people are of predominantly sattvic nature, some are predominantly rajasic nature, some are of predominantly tamasic nature. Either one must be predominantly sattvic in nature or rajasic in nature, or one must be predominantly tamasic in nature. So all, even though all people have all three gunas, but the proportion, a predominance of guna, but people differ in their predominant gunas. Accordingly, they're inclined to do certain things. Accordingly, they're inclined to live their life. So, when you decide to live a certain way of life, that way of life, or the life that is life of activities, must be in conformity with one's own nature. If you are a person of predominantly rajasic nature, and you must be given to such lifestyle that where you can do your activities in keeping with your predominant rajoguna. So you are predominantly sattvic in nature. Your choice of lifestyle must be such that you will involve yourself in things which are in harmony with your nature of sattvaguna. So, what Bhagavan says, if a person chooses one's lifestyle in conformity with one's nature, one's swabhava, one's predominant guna, then it will not be, life will not be a strenuous life. Life will not be a strenuous life. One can avoid unnecessary strain in one's own personality. Suppose if a person chooses a lifestyle which is against one's swabhava, then life will become very highly strenuous. Thereby what happens? It won't be possible for one to continue to survive in that lifestyle for very long time. Then what happens? And one will leave such position and they'll think of doing something else. The people leave one and go to something else, leave something, go to something else. No, there's so many reasons. One of the reasons is because they've chosen something which is not in harmony with their own nature. So if you do not do what should be done by you, you'll end up doing something else in keeping with your nature, because your nature will not let you, or you have no choice, Arjuna. You are bound by your nature. Because the body, mind, sense organ, your mind, because the mind will not let you, the mind is the place, you know, your predominance of guna. You can't just keep quiet. So Bhagavan says, Svena karmana nibaddha, swabhavajena karmana nibaddha. So you are bound by your own karma in conformity with your nature. You're bound by a given type of karma born of your own nature. So every human being is bound by one's own given type of karma born of one's own nature. So, a person is bound by a given type of activity ordained by one's own swabhava, determined by one's own predominant guna. So, swabhava, the predominant guna, predominance of guna, or one's own natural tendency, the swabhava, will be there throughout until the body falls. In fact, it is said swabhava will not change, will not go at all, even after the attainment of knowledge. So if the swabhava will continue to be there even for jnanis, even though the jnanis have clear understanding, okay, they know this body, mind, and complex anatma, ahankara, and aham is atma. They understood all that. Aham atma, aham brahmasmi. I am of the nature of formless, absolute, all-pervasive reality, attributeless reality. In spite of such jnanam also, even as a wise person, being endowed with the body, mind, and complex, even jnani also, being as long as one is endowed with the body, mind, and complex, one has got one's own swabhava, one's own nature. Even the swabhava alone decides for every human being what he or she does. Even after the attainment of jnanam, whatever the jnani does is in fact determined by his swabhava. So in keeping with the nature, swabhava, suppose, you know, in keeping with the nature, their lifestyle will be. Either they'll be living as part of society with the people, serving people also, or they would like to go and live quietly in seclusion. So in keeping the swabhava. Bhagavan says, Mohat yadi nak karishye. If you decide, then what will happen? It will be a way. It will be in vain. You end up doing what should not be done. Beautiful verse comes. Next verse.
Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshejuna tishthati bhramayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya.
It's a beautiful verse, very important verse also. Everybody, whoever gives talk lectures on Bhagavad Gita, definitely they'll quote these verses.
Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshejuna tishthati bhramayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshejuna tishthati bhramayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya.
Now Bhagavan says, He Arjuna, Arjuna, tishthati, tishthati means what? Stays, stands, remains. Who remains? Ishvaraha tishthati. Arjuna, Ishvaraha tishthati. The Lord remains. Bhagavan resides. Bhagavan stays. Bhagavan stays where? Hriddeshe. Kutra tishtati. Hriddeshe. In the place of heart. Or in the heart. In the heart means what? In the mind. But Bhagavan is only in the mind? No. Bhagavan is the all-pervasive reality. There's no place where Bhagavan is not. No time where Bhagavan is not, but Bhagavan is available for recognition only in the mind, obtaining within the heart. Therefore, Bhagavan is said to be residing in the heart. Hey Arjuna, Ishvaraha hriddeshe tishtati, Bhagavan resides in the heart. The Lord remains in the heart. In whose heart? Sarva bhutanam hriddeshe ishvaraha tishtati. Sarva bhutanam hriddeshe ishvaraha tishtati. Bhagavan remains in the heart of all beings. There is not even one being in whose heart Bhagavan as the abstract, formless, all pervasive, timeless reality is not. There's not even one heart where Bhagavan does not reside. So Bhagavan says, Arjuna, Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hriddeshe tishthati. Bhagavan remains, Bhagavan resides, stays in the heart of all beings. Okay, remaining in all the hearts, what does Bhagavan do? Brahmayan, sarva bhutani, Brahmayan, Brahmayati. See, Brahmati, Brahmayati. Brahmati revolves. Brahmayati revolves. Swayam, if a person, Brahmati, he himself wanders. But he himself moves. But he makes everyone move. Brahmayan, revolving. Sarvabhutani, thereby remaining in the heart of all beings. Bhagavan, revolving all the beings. Sarvabhutani, Brahmayan, Shatruvanta Shabda. Sarvabhutani, Brahmayan, revolving all the beings. How does Bhagavan revolve? Mayaya, making all the beings act. Sarvabhutani Mayaya Brahmayan. So revolving all the beings through his own power, Maya. Where is this Maya? Maya is Bhagavan Shakti. How does Bhagavan revolve all the beings through his power? Yantrarudhani. Sarvabhutani Yantrarudhani. Yantram means machine. Yantram means machine. Arudha means, Arudha is a past passive participle. Arudha, mounted. Arudham, Arude, Arudhani. Sarvabhutani, Arudhani. All the beings are mounted. On what? Yantre Arudhani, Yantra Arudhani, Yantra Arudhani. All the beings are, so Bhagavan revolves all the beings through his Maya. All the beings are as if they are mounted on a machine. It means what? No, like puppet, Bhagavan is, let's say we're all like puppets in the hands of Bhagavan. Okay. Puppets, what do the puppets do? When the puppet show is happening, what are the puppets? They don't move on their own. They are moved. Similarly, we are all puppets in the hands of Bhagavan. All the beings are like the puppets in the hands of Bhagavan means what? So Bhagavan remaining, residing in the heart of all beings, Sarva bhutani yantrarudhani iva mayaya brahmayati. So, what Bhagavan says, residing in the hearts of beings, Bhagavan revolves all the beings through maya as if they are mounted on a machine. Imagine all the beings are as if they are mounted on a machine. So what? All the beings are revolved. Bhagavan revolves all the beings through Maya. To revolve all the beings, where is Bhagavan? Bhagavan is very much there as the nearest truth, as the truth of I in their own minds, obtaining within the heart. Okay. It's a beautiful verse. Ishvaras sarva bhutanam hriddesh arjuna tishthati. Hey Arjuna, sarva bhutanam hriddeshe ishvaraha tishthati. Katham tishthati? Yantrarudhani iva sarva bhutani mayaya brahmayan ishvaraha hriddhara bhutanam hriddeshe tishthati. Understanding this fact, our physical body is active. Legs are moving. Hands are moving. Okay, hands are involved in activities, their own respective activities. Legs are involved in their respective activities. And organ of speech is involved in the act of speaking. And all the organs of actions are involved in their respective activities. And all the sense organs are involved in their perceptions. Mind is involved in its own function. Intellect is involved in some function. memory, all the, and then inside heart, lungs, kidneys, all the functions are happening. For all the functions to happen, I tell you, why the dead body is cremated is no more good. You remove water, good parts, then throw the body into the crematorium. So let the Agni Bhagavan, we offer the physical body to Agni Bhagavan to reduce it to ashes. It's no more useful. Why? Because all the subtle aspects have left the physical body. There's no more life. Which means what the physical body is alive. The body is so active. Legs do the reactions. Legs are involved in their own activity. Hands are involved in their own activity. All the sense organs, all the organs of actions, the mind, all the organs internally also, lungs, heart, kidneys, liver function, all the organs are involved in their own respective functions. Okay, and all the activities are happening. And then we have used our willpower, we use our knowledge of right and wrong, and we right or wrong actions we are doing. How is it possible? Purely because of Bhagavan residing in our hearts. So remaining as the true all-pervasive Bhagavan, even though everywhere Bhagavan as the truth is there, only in the mind Bhagavan is there as what? As manifest as the knowledge, I. So being manifest in the mind, Bhagavan as the truth manifest in the mind makes the inert material mind a conscious and sentient mind. Thereby, function of mentation is possible. When this conscious mind backs up the sense organs and organs of actions, all the 10 organs also function. All of them are functioning, then the whole body becomes active and alive. So perception is possible, actions are possible, physiological functions are possible. Then we can say somebody is alive, physically active. All these are possible purely because of the manifestation of the truth, manifestation of knowledge, which is Bhagavan. The truth being manifest in one's own mind, let's say to be what? Now, Ishvara, Bhagavan. Hriddeshe tishtati. It is it. But for the manifestation of knowledge in the mind, I tell you, mind cannot become functional, without which all 10 powers cannot become functional, without which pranas cannot become functional, without which physical body cannot be alive, and no other activities are possible. Therefore, who is this person who revolves all the beings through his maya? Into his own power. Maya means what? To his own power. It is Bhagavan. If you understand, and you will not say, I am doing, okay? The one who does everything is Bhagavan. Nothing can be done by us. This is another way of understanding Bhagavan. The more we understand Bhagavan as the manifest knowledge, the more we appreciate Bhagavan as the universal natural moral law and order, the more we understand Bhagavan as the law and order, the more we can understand that everything, all functions, all activities, everything is possible because of the mere presence of Bhagavan. Then our ahankara becomes very thin. It's called understand appreciation of Bhagavan as the whole, Bhagavan as the order. So Bhagavan says here, Hriddeshe Sarvabhutanam Hriddeshe Tishtati. Sarvabhutani Brahmayan, Yantrarudani Brahmayan, Mayaya Brahmayan Tishtati. As if all the beings are mounted on a mission, Bhagavan revolves all the beings. See, but for the manifestation of knowledge in the mind, mind cannot become conscious and sentient. There won't be the knowledge of self-existence. There won't be a knowledge of existence of the world. And if the mind is not conscious and sentient, there's no way of sense organs, organs of actions being backed by the conscious mind. If they're not backed by the conscious mind, even the 10 powers cannot become conscious and sentient, they cannot become functional. If they do not become functional, I tell you, perception of external world of objects also is not possible. Jnanendriyani cannot be functional. And all 5 organs of actions cannot be functional active, then no physical activity is possible. Now all physical activities are possible. All physical activities are possible. All perceptions are possible purely because 10 powers are functional. That is because they're backed by the conscious mind, and the mind is conscious purely because of manifestation of knowledge, and the manifest knowledge is Ishvara. Where is he? He's all pervasive Lord. He's manifest as the knowledge in the form of self, knowledge of self existence in terms of I am. Where Bhagavan, there was the truth available for recognition also. So Hriddeshe Sarvabhutani Yantrarudhani Iva Brahmayan Maya Brahmayan Hriddeshe Tishtati. Bhagavan remains there. Okay, next verse. Otherwise, body would have become what? Body becomes energized, body becomes enlivened, body enjoys life. Purely because of the manifestation of consciousness. I told you many times, 100 times, 208 times. In non-living things, Bhagavan in the form of pure truth, consciousness is. But non-recognizable because there's no manifestation, because there's no sukshma. Therefore, there's no life. We say non-living thing also is pervaded by consciousness. But that consciousness, Bhagavan in of consciousness is not available for recognition because it is not manifest, because there's no sukshma. Whereas in all living beings, Bhagavan in the form of knowledge is available for recognition because when all living beings can see, because of the manifestation of knowledge, functions are possible, order is possible, functions are possible, life is possible. In human beings, of course, Hriddeshe Tishtati. I mean, that is where Bhagavan is available for recognition. Okay, therefore what? Bhagavan says, not even a fraction of a second, Bhagavan is away from you. You are away from Bhagavan. Every small action you do, you lift your hand, understand it is because Bhagavan resides in the heart. Therefore, you're able to lift your hand. Lifting your hand, putting down of your hands, movement, physical leg movements, all activities, you're able to speak, you're able to see, you're able to hear, you're able to think, you're able to know, you are able to move around. All these are possible because this inert material body, mind, sense complex becomes conscious and sentient, made enlivened by the manifestation of knowledge, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, what should you do? Tameva sharanam gachha sarva bhavena bharata. Tameva sharanam gachha sarva bhavena bharata. Tat prasadat param shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. Tameva sharanam gachha. Tameva sharanam gachha. Tameva sharanam gachha. Sarva bhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim tat prasadat param shantim.
Sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam tat prasadat param shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam.
He Bharata, O descendant of Bharata Arjuna, therefore as Bhagavan alone revolves all the beings through his Maya Shakti, as if they're all mounted on the machine, remaining very closely as the nearest self in the mind, obtaining within the heart, Arjuna, tameva sharanangaccha, may you seek refuge in that Bhagavan only. Sharanam gaccha, may you have refuge in that Bhagavan. May you surrender to that Bhagavan only. May you surrender only to that Bhagavan. Tameva sharanam gaccha, may you surrender yourself only to that Bhagavan. Tameva sharanam gaccha. But how should you surrender? Sarva bhavena. Katham sharanam gaccha. Sarva bhavena. Sarva bhavena means what? Totally. Totally means what? Entirely. Wholeheartedly. Entirely. By all means. Wholeheartedly. May you take refuge in Bhagavan. May you surrender to that Bhagavan alone. Wholeheartedly. Sarva bhavena tameva sharanam gaccha. Okay. If you surrender yourself totally, wholeheartedly to Bhagavan, what will happen? You will tap Bhagavan's grace. Tat prasadat. Purely because of his grace, purely because by Bhagavan's grace alone, tat prasadat param shashvatam, param shantim shashvatam sthanam prapsyasi. Prapsyasi, you will attain param shantim, you will attain absolute peace. Non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, non-disturbable, absolute peace you will attain. Param shantim prapsyasi. Shashvatam sthanam prapsyasi. You will attain absolute peace, non-disturbable peace. You will attain permanent abode in terms of moksha. Shashvatam sthanam, permanent abode, everlasting abode in terms of moksha. You attain moksha. So Bhagavan says, the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, non-disturbable, absolute mental serenity, tranquility, Arjuna, you will attain only by Bhagavan's grace. Tat prasadat param shantim prapsyasi. And you will attain that absolute abode, ultimate abode, param exalted abode, permanent abode, eternal abode, you will attain, reaching which, attaining which, you need not attain anything else. Attaining which, everything else becomes attained as it were. That absolute, permanent abode, you will attain, for which absolute peace of mind, absolute mental tranquility, and absolute everlasting abode, if you want, you need Bhagavan's grace. Tat prasadat prapsyasi. You attain only by Bhagavan's grace. But for to tap Bhagavan's grace, what should you do? You have to surrender to Bhagavan. how totally, wholeheartedly one must surrender to Bhagavan. The question is, if I surrender to Bhagavan, I will tap Bhagavan's grace. By having Bhagavan's grace, I can attain absolute mental tranquility. I can attain moksha, everlasting moksha, abode. Okay, but how can I surrender? What is surrender? I told you, surrender is of twofold. This I explained to you many times, even Ajay's house. There is relative surrender, and there is absolute surrender. If you live a life of karma yoga, naturally you become committed to the pursuit of, committed to life, live a life of universal values. When you live your life of, when you strictly live a life of universal values, you see all your actions are in conformity with dharma, then what happens? Your actions will not be governed by your personal likes and dislikes. Your actions will not be dictated by your mere likes and dislikes. All actions will be consciously performed, being governed by your own knowledge of right and wrong. Therefore, when you live a life of karma yoga, prayerfully, worshipfully, when all your actions are performed in conformity with dharma consciously, then even though your desires are there, your emotions are there, still they all become very well managed. Why? Because of your commitment to live a life of dharma, then your will becomes surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. So living a life of karma yoga, governed by dharma, is what? Living a life of dharma, which means one's will becomes surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. This relative surrender. Then if you live a life of karma yoga, in conformity with dharma, I tell you, there will not be a fraction of a second you will forget Bhagavan. In karma yogi's life, Bhagavan is ever remembered, always remembered. Even though you do not remember, but the way you, the attitude you have and with which attitude you do, that fills your life. It means Bhagavan fills the karma yogi's life. Bhagavan is never forgotten. Bhagavan is not far away. Bhagavan is always there through the whole of the life of a karma yogi. Therefore, you can tap Bhagavan's grace. That is one relative surrender. Then later on, by living a life of karma yoga and having attained all qualifications required for the attainment of jnanam, as a person of viveka vairagyam, and as a disciplined person, disciplined personality, and when a person becomes qualified for the attainment of jnanam, the person attains jnanam in the wake of clear vision of one's own self being non-separate from Paramatma. Seeing oneself being non-separate from Paramatma, thereby seeing all that is, there's only Paramatma. There's no second thing other than Paramatma. When a person has such a clear vision of Paramatma being the whole, I tell you, when one's ahankara, I sense individuality, becomes resolved in totality, ahankara becomes resolved in consciousness, Paramatma, then one does not see oneself, one sees only Bhagavan as the truth. And that having a clear vision of oneself being not there outside of Bhagavan, oneself being non-different from Bhagavan, is absolute surrender. In jnanam, appreciating the fact that all that is, there's only Bhagavan, is offering one's own self to Bhagavan, which is the greatest offering, which then. So a jnani is a person of absolute surrender. A person, karma yogi, is a person of relative surrender. There's no way of surrendering oneself to Bhagavan other than living a life of karma yoga, governed by dharma. And there's no way of surrendering other than discovering an amazing fact of oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, and Bhagavan being there, you know, every mind's, everyone's heart, in every mind, as the very truth of I. Okay, this is under. If a person surrenders to himself to Bhagavan, himself or herself to Bhagavan, then one can earn abundance of grace. Once a person has grace, what is not possible? If Bhagavan's grace is there, nothing is impossible. If without Bhagavan's grace, nothing is possible. Everything will be impossible if we don't have Bhagavan's grace. If Bhagavan's grace is there, nothing is impossible. Therefore, he says, then that Bhagavan's, having earned Bhagavan's grace, so surrendering oneself to Bhagavan, having earned Bhagavan's grace, then a person, prasadam, param shantim, prapsisi. You will attain absolute tranquility, peace of mind. Not only that, shashvatam padam prapsisi. You attain the absolute abode in terms of moksha. For it you need Bhagavan's grace. I made it very clear. Okay. Beautiful verse. Don't you see this? If you need, finally, what is the teaching? For you to be able to accomplish anything and everything you want in life, you need grace along with your efforts. Anugrahena vina, without Bhagavan's grace, nothing can be accomplished. Without your personal efforts, grace cannot be earned. Mere efforts without grace will be a failure. Without efforts, grace will be impossible. You must make adequate, appropriate efforts. Then you can tap Bhagavan's grace. With Bhagavan's grace, everything becomes possible. For which you need to surrender. Relative surrender, absolute surrender. Is it clear? Okay.
Tameva sharanam gachha sarva bhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam.
Okay, I'm going to stop the class now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.